I may be bold when I am present, that with the confidence wherewith I think of be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled, do you look on the things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. You may be seated. Blessed Father, Lord, I need your help this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, you bless the reading of your word, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd help hide me behind the old rugged cross, Lord, this morning. Lord, I need your help, Lord. Lord, I'm not, my thoughts, Lord, are so much lower than your thoughts, Lord. I pray, Lord, you take this word, Lord, that you send it to who you need to send it to, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us in this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In this verse, I want to be looking in verse number 3 and verse number 4. It said in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." I want us to look at this morning on the subject of strongholds. Paul here is writing to the church at Corinth. They were a worldly church. They was a church that followed after their flesh. They was a church that followed after idolatry. They were a church that followed after false preaching and false teaching of the Word of God. I want to also bring in our remembrance that back in Noah's day, he struggled with the same thing. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it said, "And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And God began to move in my heart a couple of weeks ago about this subject of strongholds. You see, I don't think it's the sins that we've committed 10 years ago that are affecting our Christian walk, that are affecting our Christian lives today. It's the sins that we committed 10 minutes ago, and the devil's jumped on our back and said, "You cannot defeat them, and you cannot overcome it." But I'm glad there's one in me that's living in me this morning. The greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I want us to look in this passage of Scripture, and I pray that God will speak to your heart as he see fits. The first thing I want to look at this morning is the effects of strongholds on the Christian man. The effects of it. And I want to define a stronghold. A stronghold, I looked it up in the dictionary, and it said it was a fortified place. It's basically a fortress. It's a place of dominion. And the devil would love to take a stronghold and place it in your life, and it build up a wall between you and your God. And there's been times in my life where I thought that I could not get off the ground in praying, off the ground in praising, and off the ground in anything that I was able to do because of strongholds in my own life. And as much as I'd like not to admit it, but there are things that can come into our life that is a stronghold. You say, what is a stronghold? It's anything that separates you from God. It could be your family this morning. It could be your job. It could be your children. It could be a lot of different things. I look up one definition and define it as this. It said a stronghold is a faulty thinking pattern based on lies and deception. Deception is one of the primary weapons of the devil because it is the building blocks for a stronghold. What strongholds can do is cause us to think in ways that block us from God's best. I want you to know that God wants the best for you, and he wants the best for your family. He wants you to be in church, and he don't want a stronghold between you and your family. What we struggle with today is strongholds in our home. There's things that can come between me and my wife that could be a stronghold. And if the devil's got our home, guess what he's got? He's got our church. There's been times I couldn't praise God in the church because of stuff that happened in my home. And I tell you, you will not teach or you will not preach until your home's right. There's no way. Here's some examples of some strongholds I look up. And I guarantee you, you're going to fit in one of these categories that's been sized you up already this morning. The first thing is a stronghold is fear. Do you fear anything this morning? Does fear keep you from serving God the way you should? I want you to think about it. A lot of times, back before I was saved, you know what I feared? I feared death. And that can be a stronghold. And you can be saved here this morning and have the fear. Have fear in your life. But I'm going to tell you, God will give you dying grace when it's your time to go. Second thing is apathy. Apathy is lack of interest. Have you lost interest in your church? Is it just going through the motion day after day? That can be a stronghold in your life. And God does not want you to have apathy against His church. I want you to know that God is very concerned about His church. God wants the best for His church. And if you don't want the best for you, you're not doing what God has told you to do. The third thing is lukewarmness. That, you remember the church over in Revelation chapter number 3? The Laodicean church, the church that wanted their way. They was kind of like Burger King. That can be a source of a stronghold that God has got you. He stuck that thermometer down in that church and He said, I'd rather you be cold or hot. But they find themselves right in the middle. And you could be here in the middle and you act like you don't care anymore. I tell you, that's wrong in the eyes of God. And He wants, and that could be your stronghold this morning. It could be greed. It could be resentment. It could be bitterness. It could be unbelief. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be pornography. It could be pride, anxiety. Are you stressed out this morning? It could be unforgiveness. It may be something that somebody in here has done or said unto you that you hadn't forgiven them for. And I tell you what it'll do. It'll build up a stronghold between you and that person. You see, this thing of stronghold doesn't affect just a husband and a wife. It affects your relationship with you and God. It reflects your relationship between you and your church. You and your acquaintances that you would meet. The thing of stronghold keeps us from serving God the way we should. Anything that keeps you from serving God the way you should could be your stronghold this morning. And God says you ought to tear that stuff down. You ought to get rid of it. That's the stronghold in its definition. I want to see, secondly, the stronghold in its dangers. I want you to know that God has given you, when you was born into this world, He gave you 5 senses. He gave you the sense of smell, the sense of taste, the sense of touch, the sense of hearing, and the sense of sight. And I tell you what we do. We trust in those 5 senses more than what God is telling us to do. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. But I tell you what we want to do. A lot of times we want to trust in these 5 senses, these natural senses that the natural man trusts in, and we want to use those. We want to reach out for the things that we can touch. We want to reach out for the things that we can see. We want to reach out for those things that we can hear. We want to reach out to those things that we can smell. And you say, well, I don't trust in my 5 senses. I don't trust in it. But if I gave you a shiny new car out there in the parking lot and you saw it, you say, man, I'd love to have that car. And it would be because you saw it. It may not be the best thing for you and your family. It may get you in a world of hurt. It could be a stronghold. You may be here today and your bills are your stronghold. Your finances are your stronghold. And they've got you bound down to where you can't serve God the way you should and the way you ought to. I'm telling you, there's dangers in building up strongholds in our lives. The first thing I want to look at is our separation that it brings. It leads us to see God incorrectly. We see things in God, and if you build these strongholds and it separates you between you and your God, what will happen is you'll begin to see God incorrectly. You'll begin to think of God as some kind of taskmaster, somebody who's striking a whip on you, saying, you better do this, you better do that. But I'm going to tell you, God is a perfect gentleman this morning. He gave man a will, and man must be led by his own will. He willed for you to be saved, and from there on, it's yours. You ought to... God leads us, you'll begin to see yourself incorrectly. The second thing I want us to see is you'll begin to see yourself incorrectly. You ever thought this? You ever thought that you was no good for God? I've thought that several times in my life. And I said, well, how can God use somebody like me? I'm sure those thoughts have all indwelled our heart. We've all thought that. And I tell you, a lot of times that could be your stronghold. You see, God wants us to stay small. He don't want us to get big. I want you to know there is a ditch on both sides of the road here. You can see yourself as no good for God, or you can see yourself as, hey, I'm high-minded, I'm puffed up, I'm filled with pride, I'm God's gift to everything. And God does not want that so to be. So God wants us to not walk by our sight. It could be our stronghold there. The second thing is, what a stronghold will lead to suppression. And there's nothing worse than a suppression. You suppress so much in your walk with God that you cannot do anything. You can't worship God the way you ought to. You can't walk with God the way you're supposed to. There's been times in my life I come into church and I was so suppressed from a stronghold. Remember what a stronghold is? It's the thoughts in your mind. And I'll tell you this, I thought this more than one time. I thought that I could come into this church and I'd say, nobody in this church loves me. And if I had you to raise your hand this morning, everybody said, I thought that, we'd probably all raise our hand and say, God does not want that so to be. The very people that God has placed in this church, the very people that God has placed in your path are the people that's in this church. And I want you to know that there's people in this church that love you. I don't know nary brother or sister in this church this morning that I got an ought against. And I love each and every one of you. So if he's telling you that right now, you can throw it out the door. He'll tell you that your pastor don't love you. He'll tell you that your assistant pastor don't love you. He'll tell you that the deacons don't love you. He'll tell you that the Sunday school teachers don't love you. He'll tell you that your wife doesn't love you, or your husband doesn't love you, or your kids don't love you. And I tell you what it'll begin to do. It'll suppress you down so low that you can't even think that God could even help you anymore. And I hate to admit that I've been there before. A stronghold. God no longer will get the glory, and the devil will sit back and rejoicing. See, the devil is the author of deception. In Revelation chapter number 20, that's where they're preparing for the great white throne judgment. Let me tell you what's happening there. The devil that deceived this world is going to be cast in the lake of fire, and God's going to set those people aside that's been deceived, the ones that didn't get deceived, and he's going to make sure that they see him cast that devil into the lake of fire, the one that deceived him. I'm telling you, there's going to be many of us that are saved here today. I'm pretty sure God's going to let us look in all that and see that devil get cast down. But we're going to look at that devil and we're going to say, is that the man that deceived us all these years? Is that he's nothing. God's going to cast him down. You know, and I'm going to look at him and say, is that the man that deceived me all these years? That kept me from worshiping God the way I should? The one that kept me from loving my wife the way I should? The one that kept me from loving my church the way I should? I'm telling you, these strongholds are something in our life that we all must get rid of. It's something that we got to cast down. A lot of times what we'll do is we'll have a stronghold in our life and we'll come down to the altar and we'll pray. And we'll say, God, get rid of this stronghold in our life. And it may have you this morning. But don't do like a lot of times we do. We leave it up. We don't bury it all. You know what we want to do? We want to lay it down. We'll get up, walk up. And then when the church is over, we'll come back and get it back up and take it back with us. You know, and that stronghold begins to grow. And it doesn't take any watering. You don't have to water it. It'll grow on you. And it'll begin to suppress you. Not only will it suppress you, it'll lead you to silence. We see, we live in a world that's technology savvy. You know, that we got text messaging, we got IMs. I got a phone on my desk, I can pick it up. I don't even have to dial the number, it just sends it out. Voice over IP. You know, we live in a world. I got a guy that sits next to me. He'd rather text me or IM me than to talk to me. I mean, he's sitting right next to me. The same way with God. God don't respond to text messaging. I don't know if any of y'all's tried that. He don't respond to them. He don't respond to instant message. He don't even respond to email. You know? I'm glad today we do have direct access, but I want to tell you what these strongholds will do. They'll lead you to silence. The worst communication that you can have in your relationships is silence. Because I tell you what a stronghold will do. It'll lead you to silence, and what you'll do is you'll begin to withdraw yourself from everything that's around you that was a help to you. You'll find yourself over in the corner. You'll find yourself so down, so defeated that you say, God can never use me again, you know, and I'll just stay over here. But you know what? Why? Because it becomes your safety net. It's your safety net. And oh, Elijah, he prayed up under the juniper tree and he put him down there. He said, God, I don't know how you could use me again. The whole world seems like it's coming down on me, or the sky is falling. And it's got him so suppressed that he can't worship God. He can't do the things that God intended for him to do. Let me tell you why God saved you. He saved you so you could worship him. But I tell you what a stronghold will do. It'll tear down that. You won't be able to worship him. You won't be able to do what's right in God's eyes. That's the effects of strongholds on the Christian man. Secondly, you'll see the encounters of strongholds in the Christian ministry. I want you to know, in the Christian ministry, there's a lot of things that you can see strongholds built up with. And I'm going to tell you, a church that's ministering is a church you'll see strongholds built up. See, a lot of people go to church this morning, they got a social gathering. But I tell you, in churches that actually have ministry, where people are actually serving God, where people are actually worshiping God, I tell you what's there is going to be strongholds. And I tell you what He'll do. He'll build those strongholds up between you and the people that's in here. I want you to also know there is a law of sowing and reaping. And that law is this. You always reap what you sow. You always reap more than what you sow. The more you sow, the more you're going to reap. I work with a guy that, and I've invited him several times to the church. I invited him to Brother Dennis's class for marriage. He struggles in his marriage. And the reason he struggles so much in his marriage, because before they got married, him and his wife was both sowing things to the flesh. And now they're reaping what they've sown. Even though they're trying to get their home right, even though they're trying to do what's right, they're trying to go to church, they're trying to teach their kids right. But I tell you what they've done, they sowed so much to the flesh, and they reap the stuff of the flesh, you know, for so long. Now they've sown it out there, and now they're reaping it back. God to the Bible says this in Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 7, 8 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." There is a law of sowing and reaping. You may be here this morning and you sown stuff in your flesh. Before you even got saved, or even after you got saved, don't be surprised that it's going to show back up one day, because it is. That's why it's a danger for us. Be careful what you sow, because you're going to reap it. I want you to know also that this thing is alive. I want you to know in our heart, there's things that can creep into our heart. Our heart is the center of all our thought. It's the center of our intellect, and what you think is what you are. What you think is what you are. And a lot of times in my own life, you know, you want to know what comes out of your mouth? It's a thing that's come from your heart. Jeremiah said this over in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9. He said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" He said, "I, the Lord, search the heart." And I thought about that in my own life a lot of times. And I said, "Lord, I don't like what you find in my heart." I'm the very person that I can get down to pray and have a bad thought. You know, and I'll be trying to do my best to do what God's told me to do. I've done my best to read my Bible. I've done my best to do what I know how to do to pray. You know, and the very thing that I find myself doing is the devil getting in my mind. See, I doubt very many. There may be some in here that struggle with alcohol. There may be some in here that are very few that struggle with drugs. But I tell you what's got each one of us is this thing of the mind. Because our mind is the devil would love to get in your mind. If he's got your mind, he's got your whole life. And he will control how you're walking. You've heard the old phrase, if you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. And I guarantee you that he'll do it. You remember Adam and Eve in the garden? The devil slid in there on his belly and he deceived Eve and it caused the fall of man. Of course, God had a better plan. No doubt, by the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you, it was out of deception that he deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. It's not only is it the effects of a stronghold that are alive, but secondly, they're loud. I want you to know the devil is a roaring lion. And I can guarantee you, if you serve God for any time, I'll tell you what the devil will love to do. You'll get up and testify in church. You'll get up and praise God. And the devil, he'll sit you down. So when you sit down, he'll say, "You're the biggest dummy in the world." I remember one time we went camping with a church camping trip. And Brother Chad was there. And he got the news on the telephone. He had a friend that passed away. And Brother Chad, you'll remember this. I tell you what we did. We got around Brother Chad and we prayed for that family and we prayed for his family. You know, that God would help him. But I tell you what those people on that campsite looked at us as. They said they're the biggest dummies in the world. I remember one time I was in the gym in Roanoke where I go, and there was a preacher friend of mine in there, and there was a guy that come in, he'd been struggling. And I tell you what we did. We got down in the middle of that gym, began to pray, and all those people around us looked at us like we was crazy. You know, but in the devil, you know what he'll tell you? You'll get up off the ground. You done everything that you know to do, what God had told you to do, and you was surrendered to him. And the devil began to jump on your shoulder and say, "You're the biggest dummy in the world. Why'd you do that?" And I'm sure when some of you have got up and testified, you know, and God has used you, there's been many times that people in this church has testified. I got a lesson that God has given me, Miss Peggy and Miss Faye, 2 years ago, was going through hard times physically. And I've got that message still in the back of my Bible, ready to teach one day. I don't know when it'll teach it, but it's... So I'm here to tell you that those testimonies that you guys are standing up and giving out, they're not going to waste. Even though that devil's jumping up on your shoulder telling you that you've done everything wrong, because he's going to tell me I've done everything wrong, I'm telling you that God is using that message for somebody in this church. And he'd love to be that roaring lion. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And I'm going to tell you why we don't worship God the way we should. Because we've let that devil get up on our shoulder, and he's told us that we're no good, and we believed him. And I tell you, it has suppressed our worship, and we've become silent in the church. Not only is it loud, but it'll begin to linger. I want you to know a stronghold can last for a lifetime if it's not torn down. The Bible said there in our text this morning that we could pull down those strongholds. We could tear them down. God took the middle wall partition that was between us and him back when he died on the cross, and he rose from the grave. The middle wall of partition was broke. You know, that we could have direct access into God. But I tell you what'll keep you from having direct access this morning. It'll be those strongholds that you're building up block by block, until you can't even see the light of day, and you can't even know if God even exists anymore because of a stronghold. But I won't leave you there this morning. Even though we know strongholds are very dangerous, and each one of us in here this morning probably has a stronghold that's affecting us and is keeping us from serving God the way we should, I'll leave you with this. We can tear down those strongholds. Amen. I'm glad Jesus, when he died on the cross, he's given us power, he's given us authority, he's given us ways to get rid of those and to tear down those actual strongholds that have come against us. So if you look down in our text in chapter 10, verse number 3 there, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Each one of us, what we'd like to do is take the devil and just... If we could beat him up, we'd try it. Yep. If he was here this morning, and there's about 200 rednecks in here, well, I guarantee you what we could do, we'd try to whoop him, wouldn't we? Yeah. And we think, man, we probably could whoop that man. But I tell you what, we can't fight that battle. See, that battle is only for the Lord. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take ye in the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." I'm telling you that there is a fight. We're in a battle this morning, whether you believe it or not. You may be here this morning and the devil's got you defeated. And I'm going to tell you, that's a good indication that you're in the battle. If you're in here and the devil's not bothering you, I'm telling you, you're not in the battle. Because I tell you, in my own life, I mean, I can't speak for you, but I'll speak for myself. The devil would love to defeat you, and he'd love to keep you down. So how do we take care of these? How are we going to defeat these strongholds? Before we move on, I want to touch on this subject of bitterness. I feel pressed to God. I left that out, but I want to bring that back in here. Because bitterness is one of the key things in a church that will keep people from serving God the way they should and worshiping God the way they should. I cut grass for a church. I got one yard I've been cutting since I was 16 years old. I've been cutting it ever since. But I noticed in that cemetery, when all the grass around it is dead, I mean, everything's dead. I mean, we ain't got much rain here lately, and all the good grass is dying out. But I tell you what's left, and that's those weeds. And on Memorial Day, I took a big old thing of Roundup, and I went out there and I sprayed it down real good. I mean, I doused it down. And you know what? That stuff's dead today. I went up there and weed-eated that cemetery yesterday, and that stuff's brown. I mean, it's dead. You know why? It got down into the roots. See, you can sit there and spray all the stuff you want to. And if I sprayed water on it, it'd probably just grow. If I sprayed Coca-Cola on it, it'd probably just grow. But I sprayed that stuff that'd get down into the roots. And I tell you what it did, it died. Because that bitterness that'll get in you, it'll get in you and it'll last you a lifetime. And you'll never make things right between your brother and sister and be bitter all your life and have an ault between your brothers and sisters. I wrote this down. Bitterness is like a weed that grows and grows even when no water or no nutrients have been added. The grass will die and the weeds will take over. We need to get to the source and kill the root. The embattlement of the strongholds in the Christian mind. How to defeat strongholds. You may be here this morning and think, I can't get rid of a stronghold. I can't defeat it and I can't get rid of it. I'm going to tell you how you're going to get rid of it. You're going to get rid of it by two things. And that's by praying and by the Word of God. That's only two ways you can defeat a stronghold in life, in your life. I want you to know that the Bible has given us authority in Jesus' name to bind and take the authority over Satan's activities. A lot of times in church, you'll hear, I guess this is, we'll call it Sunday School 101. When we dismiss in prayer, we'll say, in Jesus' name. There's a reason we do that, because it gives us power. Jesus asks anything, if you ask anything in my name, He'll give it to you. The second thing is by prayer. I want you to know that you can intercede. You can ask your brother and sister to intercede. There's been times in my life that I may not thought I could pray through, and I've asked my brother or sister to pray for me, that they might get in touch with God. And there was a story in the Bible, and it's found in Matthew chapter 17. There was a guy there. The Bible said he was a lunatic. The Bible said that what had happened there is Jesus had given His disciples authority to cast out devils in His name, and He gave them power to do that. And they brought a young man to Him, and you know what? They could not cast that devil out of him. And the story went on, and they asked Jesus, they said, why could we not do that? And Jesus said, this only comes forth by prayer and by fasting. And I tell you, that's the two things that we leave out of our church today, is prayer and fasting. And a lot of times, what is fasting? Fasting doesn't necessarily mean that you get rid of food, not take food. It may be your TV. It may be your stronghold that you can fast from. And you ought to. You ought to get rid of it. You ought to tear it down. By prayer, by the Word of God and by prayer. You'll notice here that also that we can do it by resistance. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I'll tell you what our problem is. We don't resist him. The devil will present you a temptation. He'll bring you back into your stronghold and he'll tell you to resist him. But I'll tell you what our problem is. We don't resist. Because the Bible said that if we resist him, he'll flee from us and he'll give you relief from it. I'm telling you, there is help here this morning. Not only do you see the prayer, you'll see promises. How are you going to defeat the devil when he comes against you? You remember how Jesus did it? The Bible says, it instructs us to. It says we could do it. Jesus over in Matthew chapter number 4, the Bible said he was led up into the Spirit, into the wilderness. Some of you in here have not been saved long. Some of you in here have been saved a long time. Don't think it's strange when God leads you into the wilderness. Don't think you're out of the will of God. A lot of times we like to think that if things aren't going our way, you know what we think? We're out of the will of God. If my washing machine breaks down, doesn't necessarily mean that I'm out of the will of God. If somebody comes against me, doesn't necessarily mean that I'm out of the will of God. But the devil, and we instill in our mind that when things come against us, that we're out of the will of God. And the Bible does not teach that. Jesus in the Matthew chapter number 4 was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. I want you to know, how did Jesus defeat the devil? He was led out of the wilderness, and the Bible said he prayed and fasted 40 days and 40 nights. You know how he defeated the devil? He defeated it by the Word of God. You say, a man named Jesus, he ought to be able to just take the devil and throw him down. But he didn't do that. You know what he used? The same thing you're going to have to use. You're going to have to use this Word that's passed down from generation to generation. Brother Ken's already said this morning, a lot of you ought to kiss your Bible. 400 years ago, King James 16:11 Bible, he gave us this Word, and that's how you're going to defeat your stronghold this morning. This is what he did. So Jesus had been in the wilderness. He prayed and fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil came to tempt Jesus in his weakest moment. And I'm going to tell you when he's going to come and tempt you in your weakest moment. He's going to make it to where you're defeated and you're so down that you think you cannot get no help. And He's going to be there and He's going to keep on and keep on and keep on with temptations, with trials, with anything He can think of. This is what Jesus said. There was three accounts of what the devil tried to get Jesus to do. He said there in Matthew chapter number 4, He said, command these stones that it may be made bread. You know, remember Jesus he'd been praying and fasting 40 days and 40 nights. You know, and God said, and Jesus told him, He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then he didn't leave him alone there. And don't think it's strange when the devil don't leave you alone the first time. He's going to come back. This is what he did. He told Jesus, he said, I'll put you up on the pinnacle. And, you know, you can jump off and you can give the angels command over your soul that you not dash thy foot against the stone. You know what Jesus told him? He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The devil didn't stop there. He took him up into the exceeding high mountain, you know, and he said, I'll give you the kingdoms if you'll bow down and worship me. You know, and Jesus, he didn't know Jesus had the keys to the kingdom anyway. But he's got them, and he's still got them today. This is what Jesus told him. He said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You read on down, it said, and the devil fled from him. He left him alone. A lot of times in our life, God tells us to get rid of it. He's gave us a way to get rid of it. You know, the Bible says there is no temptation taking you such as common to man. The same things I struggle with, there's probably the same things you struggle with. We'd like to think that we're the only one going through something. We'd like to think we're the first one. Nobody else has got it as bad as us. And when we got these strongholds that we've been building up all our life, and we think we cannot take them down. I want you to know you can take them down. You're only going to take them down but by prayer and by fasting. The psalmist David said this over in Psalms chapter number 139, verse number 23. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We know the psalmist David was a man after God's own heart. But I'm going to tell you, David struggled with strongholds. We all remember that David went into Bathsheba. Her husband Uriah killed on the battlefield. We all remember that story. No doubt, in his heart, he had thoughts that he said, I can no longer serve God because of the sins I committed. He'll tell me, he'll say, you can no longer teach Sunday school. He'll tell me, you no longer can be a good husband. He'll tell all of us that. And he'll put that deception in our... But I want you to know that there are ways to defeat that. And you're only going to defeat it by prayer and by the Word of God. And I'll close with this this morning. We believe what the devil tells us. How come we don't believe what God says? The Bible is the truth. It's the Word of God. He'll be standing when the world's burning up. You may be here this morning. There's a stronghold deep in your soul. And you know that it's keeping you from getting saved. There's something to hear. Somebody might be here this morning and you're not willing to turn loose. And God wants you to turn loose of it. And it's become a stronghold and it's separating you between you and God. And God, all He wants you to do is turn loose. And the devil's tell you that you've gone too far. And he's told you you've done too much. I remember when I got saved, I got saved in a funeral. And I'll tell you who that funeral was for. It was for my brother. It took me that long to figure out. I'll tell you the story why I stand here today. It wasn't because my brother was a preacher. They called him to preach. God had called him to preach, you know, and he preached at the detention centers. He preached at the jails. He preached anywhere he got the chance to, you know, and it wasn't all the preaching that he done. I remember we had an old pool table in our barn when I was growing up, and this is a true story. We have all my friends over, and on every Tuesday night, he'd get a message up, and before they shoot pool, he'd pull them in there, and he'd preach to them. And if they was down there and they said a cuss word, you know what he'd do? He'd charge you $1 for a cuss word. He'd charge you $1 for smoking a cigarette, if you wanted to pay it. And he'd take that money and he'd put it in the offering plate when they passed it around for all those people. And all that is not the reason I stand here today. I'll tell you why I stand here today. It wasn't the stuff that he said, and it wasn't the stuff that he... It was every night when I got up to use the bathroom, I'd see him there in the floor praying. I'd see him when I was out watching TV, he was in there reading his word, trying to stay away from strongholds. You may be here this morning and you think there's a stronghold raised up in your life. You say, I cannot get rid of it. I cannot serve God anymore. I can't do anything. But I want you to tell you, God's giving you a way out. He's giving you a word this morning. The Bible said we ought to take those thoughts. And in verse number 5 there, it says, bring in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you have a bad thought, you know what you ought to do? You ought to bring it into captivity. I tell you what we don't do. We don't bring it into captivity, and we let that word fester in our heart, and it becomes a root. And that root begins to grow. And left unattended, that thing will take over. And you may be here this morning, you've had a stronghold in your life. You may have had it for 10 years. You may have had it for 10 minutes. I don't care. God said, take it away. He said, pull it down. And He's given us a way to pull it down. And so we walk not in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You can tear down your stronghold this morning. That's all I got, Pastor.